We'll be taking your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 as we'll be looking together this morning. Certainly good to look out in the audience and see all of you here this morning. Appreciate your presence among us, especially those that are visiting with us. We're so thankful that you've come to be among us this morning and hope that you'll come and be back as you have opportunities to be with us at Market Street. And if you're looking for a place to make home, then find your place and sit down and stay with us. And we'll be glad to have you among us. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. I was really looking forward to that song, Joel. John chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 4. It says, "And he must needs go through Samaria. He cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then the woman of Samaria said unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, for thou hast no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place you ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming, when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said unto him, No, the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, and he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman left her water pot, went into the city, and saith unto the men, Come and see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out from the city and came unto him. In the meantime, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Hath any man brought aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already ripe, white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap where there are yon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So the Samaritans were coming to him, and they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This morning, and I don't know where my flipper is. Oh, it's on the backside over here. This morning, I want to talk to you about waiting at the well. Waiting at the well. You know, we read John chapter 4, and it's a rather lengthy reading. I thought, how do I divide this up? I thought, no, you don't divide it up. You just read it like it is. But I think about this reading, I think about when you get to this reading, there are things that we need to make sure that we get out of the reading. I think a lot of times we get really interested about different things, and we can talk about a lot of different things. But there are some very simple things that we need to get. There are four things I want to talk to you about this morning that I think lessons we get from Jesus at the well. The first thing I want to notice with you this morning is that Jesus is the one who initiates the conversation. Here's this woman who needs something, and she doesn't know what she really needs, but she's there. She thinks she needs water, and she's come to draw water. Well, she probably does need water to do the task that she's got to do for the day. But what she's going to do is she's going to draw water, and then she's going to need to draw water again and draw water again and draw water again. It's never going to end. But Jesus says, you know, this woman has needs that she knows nothing about. So he begins the conversation with her. As a matter of fact, she is even startled at the fact that he would have such a conversation. Because when she comes to draw water, Jesus says to her, verse 7, give me to drink. Give me to drink. I need something to drink. I am thirsty and I want water. Now, somebody says, well, of course he was thirsty. He had been there sitting there. And he had nothing to draw with, you know. And that's in the text that we read. So it would be a normal thing that she would maybe expect someone to ask. But he was a Jew, and she was a Samaritan, and she understands this. And she says, "You know, we have no dealings. And I not only am not a Samaritan, but I'm a woman of Samaria." There's another cultural thing that breaks this thing down with Jesus. Not only do she a Samaritan, but now she is a Samaritan woman. You know, even for a Jew to ask a Jewish man to ask a Jewish woman something would be one thing. But for a Jewish man to ask a Samaritan woman, it's stepping down two or three notches. And she recognizes that. I believe there's a lesson. I think a lesson that maybe oftentimes we just don't think about, and that is what really that means to us. And that is how Jesus has initiated the conversation with me. How Jesus has initiated the conversation with you. How Jesus has initiated the conversation with mankind. You see, we go through life and we think we know what we need. As a matter of fact, we probably think, well, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to ask God for something. And oftentimes, what do we ask for things we don't know what we really need. And so hopefully when we pray to God, we pray and we say, well, we want all things to be done according to his will, because he knows what all things we need are. We don't have a perfect knowledge. And so because of that, we just have to realize that we have to trust God. And I hope we do that. But here is Jesus initiating the conversation with mankind. You remember in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, what Paul said when he wrote to Titus, he says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. This year our theme is, where he leads me, I will follow. He is teaching me. So Jesus is teaching me. He's come down to earth. He's lived upon this life. He has lived a perfect life. He has taught me within his word what he wants me to do. Now, the question I ask this morning about this, what are we thinking when we think about Jesus? Well, here we ought to think. Here is Jesus, the Son of God. Here is Jesus who is God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Now that's Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has come down to earth. He's brought the grace of God to us, and he speaks to us. He says, he that believeth in me shall never die. He says unto me, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He'll say, whosoever confesses me before men, will I confess before my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32. Jesus says, Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. See, those are words of Jesus. Those are instructions of Jesus. Those are things Jesus teaches us. And Jesus here, and he's having this conversation with me. Am I like the woman? I'm sitting here with Jesus having initiated the conversation. Do I really recognize who Jesus is? I mean, she was taken away by the fact that he was a Jewish man. But then she begins the conversation and she says, I've got a whole different idea about you. I want you to understand, as we lay down the things we're going to look at this morning, the first thing is that Jesus initiates the conversation. He initiates his interaction with this woman, and he initiates it with us in coming to this earth and living and dying a death for us. The second thing, we must realize who Jesus is. You see, that's what we see in John chapter 4 when Jesus has this conversation. Go back to verse 10. Jesus says to her, if you knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink. If you knew who I was, if you realized who I really am, then you would have asked, and she's sitting there, she said, I want this water. I mean, she says, okay, you got this kind, I want this water. But you know, she doesn't still realize who he is. She doesn't realize who he is until he says to her, go and call your husband. Now, you say, well, what he did there is he set it up for her. He says, I want you to go call your husband. Well, that would be a normally recognized thing that a woman might do. She's there drawing water. She's probably got a husband at home. But Jesus knows all the while that the man she's living with is not her husband. And she answers. And whichever way she answered, Jesus could have replied in such a way that she would have known that indeed he was more than just a Jewish man, but that he was a prophet. And she had to realize who this was that was speaking to her. That's what she must come to know. As a matter of fact, in verse 25 of the text that we read, it says, the woman says to him, I know the Messiah will come, which is called the Christ. And when he come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Verse 28 says, and the woman left her water pot. She recognized who he was. She said, oh, this is the Messiah. We have to come to realize who Jesus is. We have to realize that Jesus is a Christ. You know, I think about this, and then I think about Acts chapter 8. I think about, here's a man who's riding along in a chariot. He's reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and he's reading about the Christ, but he doesn't know really anything about this man, who he is, and so Philip joins himself and begins at the same scripture and preaches unto him Jesus. As he preaches to him Jesus, they come to a water. And he says, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? He says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The chariot stopped. They went down to the water. And Philip baptized him. And he went on his way rejoicing. I want to tell you, the Ethiopian eunuch had to come to realize who Jesus was. And we have to realize who Jesus is. We have to understand who it is who initiates the conversation with us. And we have to understand the things he says to us. And then we have to realize, indeed, this is the very Christ. This is the Messiah. He is the one who is the propitiation for our sins. He's the one who's paid the price. He's the one who's made it where I can live. You know, Jesus says, I am the Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You can say things like that, but if you say it, but you can't do anything about it, you can't prove it, that's one thing. A lot of people claim to be the Christ. This woman knew that. There were a lot of liars. There were a lot of lunatics. But Jesus says, I won't tell you, I'm showing you, I'm the Christ. I'm he. Which then brings me to the third point, and the third point that we need to get from this, and that is that we must face our sin. It was one thing to realize who Jesus was, but then to realize who he is, and then come to face with really what sin does. As I think about this, I'm turning back to Romans chapter 3. Hold your place in John chapter 4, but Romans chapter 3, look with me at what Paul says when he writes, and he's quoting from actually Psalm 14 here. In verse 10 he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, and they are come together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. See, what we had to do is we had to come to realize that's where we are. We had to realize that really away from Christ and apart from Christ, we're nothing. We're unprofitable. And we can't earn ourselves. There's nothing that I or anybody else can do. There's nothing anybody else can do for somebody else that will allow them to have the salvation of their souls. By themselves, they are lost. They are estranged from God. They are away from him. And so they need the forgiveness of sins. And the forgiveness of sins only comes through Jesus Christ. And so we come to realize that indeed we are sinners. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, verse 23 says of Romans chapter 3. There cannot be anybody who says, I haven't sinned. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8 says, if any man says, I haven't sinned, what? He's a liar. The truth is not in him. We have to come to realize that I sin. I transgress God's law. I'm a sinner. And I need the forgiveness of my sins. That's what I need. That's exactly what happened to this woman. Go back with me to verse 15 of John chapter 4. When she says, give me water that I thirst not. And Jesus says, we've already mentioned this, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman said, I have no husband. The woman said, I have no husband. The woman knew the relationship she was in was not right. She didn't say, well, I'm living with my husband. This has been a living arrangement. This is common law marriage. No. God is looking. No, it was wrong. The man I'm living with is not my husband. I have no husband. And Jesus says, you've had five. And yeah, the man you're now living with is not your husband. You talk about the unmasking of sin. You talk about facing sin for what is lawlessness, disobedience, ugliness, ungodliness. I mean, you sit here and you look at it and you say, well, my sins aren't like that. My sin, I'm not living with somebody who's not my husband, or I'm not living with somebody who's not my wife. Sin is sin. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Somehow we think certain sins have certain weight, and that certain good deeds have certain other weight. And I think we kind of get this thing of a balancing scales. And we sit there and say, well, if I cannot do too bad of things and I can do some good things to outweigh this, then I can balance these scales and we're going to be okay. We don't need to think like that. Our sins cost us to be undone. But as we live godly and righteous in Christ, he declares us righteous. He tips the scale toward us. But as long as we live in sin, as long as we're involved in ungodliness, as long as we are transgressing God's law, as long as we are living in lawlessness, as long as we are alienated from God, that's where we are. We're in sin. And this woman is faced with her sin. And we had to be faced with our sin. And finally, we must make a decision. Jesus initiated the conversation. He initiated the interaction. He told her who he was, and we must realize who we are. She had to realize her sin, and we must realize our sin. But finally, at the end, we have to make a decision. Are you with me? Look with me, verse 28. When Jesus says, "I'm he," verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went the way into the city, and said to the men, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Is not this the Christ? She believed. She responded. She said, "He is the Christ. He is the Christ." And she went, told the Samaritans. They came unto him, and then they heard. And they heard and they believed it was him. Why? Not because a woman said so, they said, but because they heard him for themselves and they made a decision. Finally, this morning, we have to make a decision. The song we're going to sing says, "Someday we stand at the bar on high. Someday the records you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will that answer be?" This morning, what will your answer be? Jesus has given you his life. He has shed his blood on the cross to redeem you back to God. And this morning he stands at the door and he knocks. Will you open the door? Will you open the door of your heart to him? Will you let him come in and take his abode with you? Or will you keep the door shut, remain in sin, while he continues to knock? What will your answer be while we stand and sing? Won't you come?